Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry. Sherry?
Good morning.
Oh.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Brand new internet in the new center, and it's working.
Mm-hmm.
One day without internet, and I get to realize how dependent a person can become.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So our assignment from yesterday was: what does your drawing tell you about how you see yourself emotionally? So we're going to draw a picture of our emotions, and then what does the drawing tell you about how you see yourself emotionally?
All right.
Here's our first call. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you?
Hello, this is Jamie in Delaware.
Hello, Jamie.
As far as my emotions are concerned, the one that gives me the most problem is anger or criticism. I have a lot of difficulty around that at times, although I do feel other emotions, happiness and joy and peace. In fact, the criticism, when it goes away, that it makes room for those other emotions a lot of times.
Yeah.
And
Jamie, do you see criticism as an emotion? Or kind of more a habit of behavior?
Well, it's somewhere. It's like, is it? I wonder if it's a thought or if it's an emotion, and how the two go together. Because there does seem to be a story that often goes, or a thought process that goes with the anger, the criticism.
Yes. In fact, I would project that the criticism.
Yeah.
Fuels the anger.
Exactly. That sounds right. And it's I don't think I can win if I'm constantly coming up. I can always find a reason to criticize myself or a reason to criticize other people. That's what I'm going to do, I can always do that.
May I?
Yeah.
I project that what you're seeing is that process in conditioned mind is what does that. So that process that we often talk about, of course, is self-hate, but those are processes in conditioned mind. It picks on you, it criticizes you, and it criticizes other people.
Exactly.
And so to realize that you are not doing that, You're the recipient of it, right? You're in a way we could say you're being victimized by that process, right? So it beats you up, picks you apart, and then it picks other people apart. And then it says, see what you're doing, Jamie? See how you are? What an awful person you are. Why are you so critical? Why are you so angry?
Right. Exactly. If I beat myself up for beating myself up.
Yes, well, you get beaten up for getting beaten up. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's the important piece to realize, that you're not doing this. You're not the author of this. You're the recipient of this. So to begin to see that system is a funny way to talk about it, given how we usually talk in practice. But if you begin to see yourself at a distance from that, almost as if you were looking at somebody else, and that conversation is going on in your head about what's wrong with you and what's wrong with other people and back to you, here's more that's wrong with you, and you just watch that, but don't believe it's you and don't take it personally.
Right, and I do have a sense that there's something beyond that. When I drew my emotions, I put a heart in the middle, and I have a sense that there's a peaceful place that has nothing to do with that.
Absolutely. And that peaceful place is awareness.
Right.
Which is if you practice watching that system operate and realizing it's not you, you'll begin to realize you're watching that system operate from that, from the heart, from that peaceful awareness. Yeah.
Yeah, I can get a sense of that. When I do recordings about being grateful or about what I've actually accomplished with things that I've done that are that puts me more in touch with a healthier place or a better place.
That's right. That's right. That's the conversation we want to live in, right? And because it's a conversation that is true. So as you're talking about your successes and, you know, what a good guy this Jamie is, how caring, how much he wants to live in peace and have an open heart and be loving and kind and compassionate, you listen to those recordings instead of that pick, 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 and you find yourself more and more living in the place where you want to live, which is here.
Right. I have to come back, keep doing the work.
That's it.
I can get lazy and go off. Yeah, exactly.
Yep,
it's a process.
You do. Yeah. It's a process.
All right.
It's like staying fit, right? We're working on our emotional fitness. We got to keep showing up and working on it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you,
Jamie.
Well,
thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay.
Go happy.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Bye.
Thanks, Jamie. What a wonderful start to this conversation this day, Sherry, that it always comes down to recognizing the conversation for a process and conditioned mind and redirecting the attention to this here now. That is everything else, you know?
Yes, and that's the key little phrase there, isn't it? Redirecting the attention.
That's right. That recognition that you were pointing out is that it's not me, it's a process.
Mm-hmm. And what we authentically call me is the awareness that can direct the attention.
That's right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay, I'm going to go down the list. Here you go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi. This was a great exercise because I cottoned on to an identity, I think. My emotions, there was a lot of black, black Crayola. And then with an occasional blue and yellow for blue skies and sunshine kind of representing happy moments. And, you know, why almost before I even finish, what I saw was, this is a story about who I am. This is a story about I am always depressed or angry or in the negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know that. I mean, I actually really don't think that's true. Yeah, I mean, I may not be a cockeyed optimist, as the song says, but there is this identity that just feels like she's just, or, you know, it doesn't really feel this. I mean, this is all conditioning, made-up story that I'm gloomy, I'm depressing to be around, I'm depressed, I'm angry, I'm a difficult person because of all these negative emotions, and I've got to fix myself.
Well, and when identified with that part of ego, that is your experience.
Yes.
But what you're questioning is, well, what if that's not true?
Yeah.
What if it only looks that way when identified with that aspect of the personality, and that aspect of the personality is the one who wants to tell the story?
Yes.
So perhaps it would be a fun exercise to let some of the other, the blue sky, bright sun folks tell their version of reality.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Maybe we can go have a picture and talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. So who likes flowers? And who likes animals? And who likes, right, all of the things? Yeah, who likes blue skies and sunshine? And tell that story.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think, yeah, this identity has gotten a lot of airtime.
Yeah, it might be time to retire.
Time to retire that identity and and hear from others.
Yes, yes. And I just love it that you said, you know, I don't know that that's true. I mean, if we could all get to a place with every single story we're told to realize, well, I don't know that that's true. I know it's a story I'm told. I know it's something I've believed. But being told a story and believing that story is not the same as it's true.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, when I'm believing that story, even when I'm not particularly identified, but I still kind of believe it, I can find all kinds of evidence.
Oh, yeah. A lot
for its true, for its quote truth.
That's right. That's the good part of a story, not good in quotes. I mean,
yeah.
That you know, it's the big lie. That whole propaganda notion. That's why it works. The lie is told over and over and over and over until people believe it. And even though there's massive amounts of evidence to the contrary, the evidence is disregarded in because we believe the lie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're living in with conditioned mind.
Yeah.
So, you know, there you are. There's flowers and there's the puppy and there's the blue sky and bright sunshine. And that identity comes in and says, yeah, yeah, well, that's fine. But who you really are is.
Mm. Yeah, or if only you could be this way most of the time.
All the time.
All the time. Most, or, you know,
yeah.
Too bad that,
yeah.
You know, most
too
of your
you
life.
Like this. Yeah, because who you really, yeah. And you're questioning, well, now without that story, what would my life experience actually be?
Mm-hmm.
Find out. Let's find out. All
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank
I like
you,
the
Kathy.
Idea of time with the blue sky, sunshine,
uh-huh.
Or people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Take that recorder and maybe your How workbook and see who else wants to draw a picture.
Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Catherine. Such a process of discovery, right, Sherry?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
What if you had been introduced to the most fascinating human being on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and you mm-hmm. didn't know that's who you met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's where we all are.
Yeah. All right, Sherry, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller?
We got internet.
Hello.
Where is everybody else?
Hey.
Oh,
yeah.
There.
This is, hey, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, just taking a little while to get unmuted here. So did my drawing, you know, and then when I was doing the drawing, and I know we've been kind of looking at that, what that means, but when I was doing the drawing, what I was aware of was there was some impatience going on. And some fear kind of sprinkled in and around. And then there was this calm underneath it all.
Mm.
And that's kind of what I drew, you know, just kind of the ocean in the lower part of the picture. And then this, you know, kind of prickly inferior things, and this kind of whatever it was for the kind of impatience, and actually became aware of there was some shame that really wasn't in conscious awareness. Kind of as I looked at that it more, so I added that in. But it was really clear that there was, you know, that attention could go back and forth between whatever kind of emotion, you know, conditioned derived emotion, and the peace that seemed available underneath all of that when attention was on the peace. And really when attention was really in the body, you know, kind of in the belly in particular, that it's really, you know, we were just focusing on the body a lot recently. And one of the things I saw during that period of time is that, you know, the experience of peace is to be found within the body. I mean, maybe it can extend beyond that, but it's not like I get that experience of peace somewhere out there, you know.
Right.
Exactly. Certainly not in the head. It's to be found in the body.
Not in the head. Right. Yes.
Right. Yes. Yeah, definitely not in the head. So it's just really, I know I'm kind of going back to the body, but just one more example of the body being, along with the mentor in life and practice, you know, my best friend, really faithful and really providing everything.
Everything.
Not just the ability to be alive at all, but that this is where I find everything I want. You know, because the body is always in the moment, as we say, and it's always available waiting for me to turn my attention to present moment here, the body, you know, and then, you know, I have everything I want.
Yes. And if we go to that, emotion is sensations in the body that have a story attached to them.
Mm.
You know, when we look at emotion in that way, so if there's a heaviness, a tightness in the body, and it's been labeled depression or sadness, then there's a story that goes with that. And I get talked into believing that that's who I am. And when we start breaking it down the way you're describing, then we realize that the body, with all of its sensations, doesn't have those meanings, doesn't have those labels, doesn't have those stories. It's just here, alive, just taking in and participating, being an expression of life, right? So it is a really important part of practice to get out of the head and get into the body, because that's where we can experience life directly.
Yeah. It's kind of the difference between. You know, as we talk about being caught up in some identity of who I is, or the authentic human being, the authentic expression of life, that's kind of the body, you know, going through life. If attention is in the body, if I'm, you know, really there's no I, if there's just being, you know, being the body, attention in the body, just being, then there's, you know, there's no I story going on about who I am, but there's the authenticity, know, and then life is just doing whatever it's doing, and there's presence, awareness, compassion. It's just a really good package.
yes, exactly. And going back to what we talked about a little bit yesterday, that's where the appropriate happens. Because the body is completely geared toward, no better words coming, but toward appropriate. It's responsive, an expression of and responsive to the moment. So we're not lost in some story about some time or place that's not here now. And so mm-hmm. when we're in the body and the body is here, we're appropriate.
Mm. You know, what strikes me about that is that there could be an experience of sad that arising yes. in the moment, an
yes.
authentic experience of sad
yes.
That comes up. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's just that experience and there's no suffering.
With no story.
There's right, no story, simply the experience of sad, and then that, you know, passes, and then there's whatever experience comes now, and but there can be emotions. It's not like it's a place that doesn't have emotions,
right?
But it's present moment emotions rather than
present
oh
moment.
This is created by a story and I'm afraid
mm-hmm.
that blah 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 is going to happen then
mm-hmm.
or this is so horrible
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kate was kind of taking us through that yesterday. You know, you're at the movies
mm-hmm.
and something really sad happens, you cry. And then something heart-opening happens, and then something funny happens, and you laugh. You know? But there's no,
mm-hmm.
it's just now.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just happening now. Yeah. All right.
Right.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Sherry. Thanks, Ashwini. Go happy.
Go happy. Go yeah. appropriate and enjoying the peace of presence.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, thank,
thank you.
Thank
you, Jeff.
Okay,
thank
bye
you.
Now.
Bye-bye.
You know, when Jeff was talking about his drawing, what dropped in is that awareness is the container in which all of that energy is held, and there's a way in which it all can be experienced.
Yes.
That the body is that container, because it is the vehicle of experience. It's what
yes.
it's what we experience through, and so to...
Yeah.
To have that association that the intelligence that animates is what the processes of the body, it is intelligence, and therefore it experiences everything that's happening, I mean, of course, artificially inside and outside, but it's all in that same, it's held in that same space.
Mm-hmm. 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 And we are conditioned to believe there are boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Even we can't see them. We actually,
mm-hmm.
so we're just left with the skin must be
mm-hmm.
the boundary. And yet our moment by moment experience tells us that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to maintain a belief in separation when we're in the body and present to the moment, very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Very difficult. Yep. And here's our next caller, Sherry. Next mm-hmm. caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, it's Colin here.
Well, hello, Colin.
Hello there. Yeah, so I was, when I was doing the drawing, I was doing these sort of free-form, sort of random sort of lines and shapes and things, and some pictures of rain clouds and sunshine and things like that. And but I also drew a picture with sort of straight lines and a square and a box. And I think it's that thing, I think you said this to me before, but it's like who is judging the drawing? And a voice seemed to be saying, oh, well, you're boxing everything in, and that's how you are with your emotions. They're all boxed in and controlled, and they're not free enough. And that sort of sounded like criticism somehow.
Right. No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, let me point out what's wrong with you emotionally, in case you didn't, you hadn't gotten that.
Yeah, that's right. And because I thought, well, when I'm present, you know, the experience is free and joyful and spontaneous. And as this voice telling me there's something wrong with my emotions and that I need to refer to it so that I can overcome this difficulty that I've got
mm-hmm.
with my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Hearing this from the very system that wants you, everything about you, put in a box. Right, it's been working
right.
all your life to put you in a box, and now wants to tell you that what's wrong with you is you're in a box.
God. Right. But yes, that's right. It's sort of telling me I'm in a prison, isn't it? And I listen mm-hmm. to that voice, and it's telling me that I'm in a prison, and it can mm-hmm. get me out of it. And yeah, so yeah. Anyway, so that's what I was seeing about it. But because it's not my experience that the emotions aren't free. I think when I'm present, they do feel quite free. Yes.
Well, and Colin, it seems like it I mean, that voice didn't mean to do it, but it gave you a big clue, a big hint about how it works. So when you do feel controlled or shut down, that you can know that system is there controlling you.
Oh, right. Yes, yes.
Because it just told you. It told you how it does it. It boxes you in, and which is so extraordinary to see when we get a chance to see that it's telling us what it's doing by accusing us of doing what it's doing. So it says you're just all boxed up. That's the problem. You're just shut down and closed off, and what it's really confessing, although it doesn't mean to, it's only because we do awareness practice that we get to see it, it's saying, I am boxing you in. I am controlling you. And now I'm going to accuse you of doing that so that you will feel bad as I go on doing to you what I have been doing to you.
Well, that's just so horrible, isn't it? And I've been believing
yeah,
that.
It really is.
Well, thank goodness for the workbook to help me see that.
So, and for everybody, you know, with whatever process we've got going, to realize that voice is telling us what it's doing to us, and it's telling us how it does that, and we can know what that is by what it's accusing us of doing.
Oh, right.
It's kind of convoluted, but once we catch on to it, once we realize that voice is always projecting its experience onto us, then we can tell what's our part and what's its part.
So if I'm just trying to grasp that. So if it's telling me I'm doing something wrong, mm-hmm. that's it, isn't it? It's not.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So that's the thing to watch out for. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
if we go back to Jamie, so the voice would say to Jamie, you're so critical. Well, what's it doing? It's criticizing.
Being critical,
it's
yes.
criticizing
yeah.
him. And then it's
yeah.
saying he's doing that. And so if we're not doing awareness practice, we just go, oh, my God, that's really true. Oh, I'm an awful person. I'm so critical. You know, you're so judgmental. Well, the voice just judged me. It just did that to me. And it's telling me that I am doing what it's doing to me. And if we just stop and go, wait a minute, there's only one voice having this conversation, and that's the one that's accusing me of these things. So projection, who's saying that? Where is it coming from? What's having that experience? It's not me. I feel bad being accused of that, and I assume, like Catherine, right? But maybe that's not my experience, right? Once we get to that place, we can start questioning, well, what if that's not true? What if I'm actually not all that judgmental? What if it's that voice in my head that's judging me that is so judgmental?
If you yes,
feel it
yes.
slipping out underneath its thumb.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow, that's fantastic. Yes, to see that. So thank you so much for that. Yeah, and it's really, you know, it's exciting now. So I've kind of got that. So now I can, you know,
look for that. You can be the watcher,
right?
You can be the watcher now instead of what's watched. You know?
Yes.
So
yes.
The voice says, you're blah, blah, blah. Okay, so what you're saying is that I'm, so that means you are, so you're projecting that onto me, maybe I'm actually not that way at all. Maybe it's you, critical voice in my head, judgmental voice in my head, hateful voice in my head.
Yes, and is that true, like with fear, if it's saying, oh, you're really afraid, it's ego, isn't it?
It's making you afraid. Oh, yeah. And it's coming up with stories and whatever that'll make you afraid. And then it accuses you of being afraid. If that voice weren't there, you wouldn't be feeling afraid. It wouldn't occur to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't this kind of the coolest?
It is the coolest, yes. That's for sure. Oh, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Colin.
Thank you, Sherry.
Let me know,
okay?
Keep me
all right, thank you.
On the great adventure, okay.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Great. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Colin. And that brings us to the end of another fabulous show, Sherry. And if the one thing that I wanted to add to that conversation is, it's talking about itself all the time.
All the time.
All the time. And the one other thing, so the two things we work with in awareness practice is to recognize it's a process. It's not. It's just a process or a program, and not to identify that that is what I am. That's what ego is, or that's the I that is the ego. And the second thing I think that the bamboozle we work on all the time is feeling bad that we listen to it, which is another trick.
That's the next layer, huh?
That's right. And if we can get both of those things, we're so well on our way not to take things personally, and therefore to be here.
Oh, that is such a great tip. That's the next thing for us to watch for. Well, you know, this wouldn't be happening to you if you weren't listening to the voices of ego.
Yeah, that's right. If you know I'm an egocentric, a disembodied voice in the head and a process that's working, why are you giving me attention? It's your fault.
As my teacher would say, no reason to be bored.
That's right, no reason to be bored.
Fun to do.
So our assignment for today is, what do you do to feel good? Record and listen.
What do you do to feel good? Besides practice awareness, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, sorry.
In the passage. In the practice of awareness. I was going to qualify that.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Go happy, everybody. Treasure yourself.
Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.